Hi everybody, thanks very much indeed for showing up for this episode 5 in the new series of The Wrap, the What's Racing About podcast. Always great to hear from you and always great to be interacting with you once again. So, with Cheltenham just 3 weeks away, what better time to discuss the Grand National? And I wanted to touch on the Grand National this week because the weights are revealed this coming Tuesday, I think it is. I think the Great and the Good all head up to Aintree Racecourse for a big old bun fight, big old lunch, and the weights are revealed on Tuesday. And for a little while, the pre-Cheltenham frenzy is sideswiped by the Grand National. Usually, or it has been in the past, been an interesting day finding out what horses are going to be carrying what weight and what the English handicapper has allocated to particularly Irish horses. And in the past, there was an entry factor at play. The handicapper would have leeway to add or, in some cases, take away weights allocated to a horse or a mark allocated to a horse based on how that horse had historically performed at Aintree, but specifically in the Grand National. That is no longer that big an issue. And this, you know, I'll be honest, this is where we get to the guts of what this podcast is all about. My and many people's ongoing dissatisfaction with the Grand National as it is now in 2026. I would argue, you know, going to the point that I was making about the entry factor, there is no entry factor now. The race has been gutted of all of its main challenges and all of its spectacle, and basically it is now a long distance chase, and I'll put chase in inverted commas because for many it feels like a hurdle race given the ease with which the fences are negotiated nowadays. But it's a long distance chase, and I've sort of tongue-in-cheek called it the Ida Chase with an O level, and that's the way I feel about it. I just think it's a race that has got delusions of grandeur about it now. Yes, you need to be able to stay the trip, particularly if the ground does get testing. But other than that, it's not really a test of jumping. You look at a little pony like Tiger Roll, great horse, love the horse. There's an argument for saying that Tiger Roll was one of, or is one of the best horses that ever drew breath. Now, I know that'll upset the Cato Star and Arkle purists, but if you look at what Tiger Roll achieved in his career, he's up there with one of the greats, and on certain criteria, I would say he was one of the greatest horses that ever jumped a fence in National Hunt racing. But he was tiny, and there's no way that he should have ever been competing, and let alone winning Grand Nationals. But he won two, as we know. And it makes you wonder, it makes you question what old-timers, you know, from the great days, the glory days of the 70s and 60s, would have made of today's fences and today's Grand National. I got into the Grand, my first memory of the Grand National, and, you know, I loved the race, or I did in the past. My first memory was, it would have been the late 60s, and I should have done some research from this. So let's say 68, 69. I'm going to school. I'm a kid. You know, I'm a primary school kid. And a girl came up to me and said, "What horse do you fancy for the Grand National? I love Red Alligator." And I remember that clear as day because I had no first clue about the Grand National. But I made it my business to go away and sort of find out about it and what it was she was twitting on about. And I wanted to make friends, I wanted to be liked. And all the kids in the primary school that I was attending then were crapping on about this thing, the Grand National. Now, can you imagine that today? You know, a kid in the playground, if they talk about Nick Rocket, well, most kids are going to be thinking that's a character from Call of Duty. It just does not have the nationwide attraction. My mum, God bless her, 80 plus years old, she used to organise a sweepstake for all the old biddies in her nursing home around the Grand National. It was a big thing. It seized the nation's imagination and was there front and centre. And it was like, yeah, this is something which binds the nation together. And it is a, love it or loathe it, it's a wonderful binding mechanism, if that doesn't sound too anal. For the nation to bring us all together. Even now, all these years later, I can still sort of crap on. One of my greatest memories of the Grand National was Michael O'Hare's commentary of Mayhem. that led to Foinaven winning the 1967 race. I love that commentary. It's pure poetry. The rhythm and the timbre and the metre that O'Hare applies, and his ability to identify and name horses, it was just spectacular from memory. And as they run down to the one after Beecher's, the leader is Castle Falls, and Rutherford's have been hampered, and so too has Castle Falls, and Runtahoo has fallen, Princeful has fallen, Norther has fallen, Curtainlad has fallen, the Fossil has fallen, there's a Roy Poylop, Livesey has climbed over the fence and left his jockey there, and now in all this mayhem, Foinaven has gone off on his own, blah blah blah, and we know the outcome of that. But you know, that resonates and that sticks with me all these years later. You know, and I love that commentary. I love the guy. It's an example, you know, of that sticking with me. And then, you know, you go through the Red Rum era, but also horses like Zongolero, the Pill Garlic, Earthstopper. You know, these are horses that kept coming back time and time and time again. And we love those horses, and we love those names. And they have names that, like, for old timers like me, you're stuck in the memory. Why am I telling you all this? Because I love, or loved, past tense, the race. I was something I would look forward to for months in advance. And once I sort of got into racing proper in the early 90s, my then beau and I were huge fans of Utoxeter Racehorse. We'd go down to Utoxeter and we saw Lord Guillain before Lord Guillain became the Grand National winner. And we loved Lord Guillain, and we were rooting for him on that never-to-be-forgotten day when the race was run on the Monday. And what a weekend that was. Went down to Aintree to watch the race. We know what happened. We all got evacuated. We had a load of people come back and stay with us at our flat. Went down there on the Monday, rocked up, saw Lord Guillain win. And what a day, what a weekend that was. So memories of the race are there, and strong, good, life-affirming. I keep on coming back to that phrase, life-affirming memories. Counterpart that with the safety measures that have been put in place. Now, we know the argument as to why that has taken place, and people say the race had to change, there were too many deaths, and that is one point of view, and it's a point of view that has held sway, and we have seen the changes that have been made. There have been major modifications to the fences. They bear no resemblance to the fences that those old timers were jumping way back when, in terms of their toughness, their height, the drop that they faced going over Beecher's Brook on the far side of the fence. The race distance has been shortened. The speed with which they go to the first fence has been chopped by making the start that much closer to the first fence. Entry requirements are harder, so you get better quality horses taking place. Horses are vet checked pre-race, you know, harder than they've been before, to make sure that they're ready to rock and roll, etc., etc. And some of those are vital and worthy, and some are cosmetic, and some will not help safety. In fact, will arguably actively compromise it. You know, and I don't propose to get into why that is. The point I was making is, you can do all of that, you will do all of that, and at some point a horse is going to die. And maybe not this year, and I hope not, and drop and give me 10 if you're wanting me to wish horses to die. That is very, very far from what I'm about, what this podcast is about, and the way I look upon horse racing. It is a fact that racehorses will die competing in National Hunt and other horse racing. And they will die in the Grand National. And when they do, where does racing go then? Ever more compromises, ever more changes. We reduce the length of the race, reduce the number of runners still further. 34 now, you know, how many do we need to for it to drop to make the race notionally safer? Because it's never going to be safe. It is an inherently risky sport wherein horses will die. And I've gone back and talked about my attitude and how I can justify that to myself in previous casts. You know, go back and check me out on that. So, you know, it's that's it. That's a fact. And we're now at the stage where we have something which pleases nobody. okay, nobody's a bit of an over-exaggeration. It doesn't please the purists who say the spectacle has been ruined, the guts have been pulled out of the race. You know, chalk me up into that camp. It doesn't appeal to the animal aid fraternity at the other end of the spectrum, who will say that the race is dangerous, all races are dangerous, ban it, off we go. Boo, sucks, we hate it. It appeals to television. They will hype it up and they will shoehorn in some folks, FAUX, story about the winner, because they always do. They will invoke the ghosts of Red Rum and all those horses that were from the old days that still have some vague pull in the racing firmament, and that will all be involved. And they will invoke Foinaven, and they will talk about the challenge of the race, and they will send Luke Harvey out to Beecher's Brook and say how high it is and how difficult it is to get across. Bollocks. Absolute bollocks, let's call it for what it is here and now. But it adds to the hype, and if another couple of million people show up for the race that stops the nation, pause for hollow laughter, then, you know, ITV will have considered their job well done. Betting turnover may well go up because we've all got to have a bet on the national, haven't we? No, we haven't, and a lot of people aren't particularly bothered about it anymore. And, you know, and life will go on after you know, the national comes to a conclusion. My thoughts on this are pretty radical. I think the race should be very quietly with as little fanfare as possible, be completely dropped from the schedule for the reason I've just outlined. It doesn't appeal to the purist. It will never appease the animal aider. It might buy racing a little bit more time if we can say that we've finally put out of its misery the greatest race that ever was. There isn't any more. It might buy us a bit of cheap PR with the world, animal aiders, and people that think that that racing is cruel. It might allow real racing to continue to go on for a few more years. But the Grand National itself, just let it go. Let it go. And we can then go on with the rest of, you know, with the rest of racing. For me, I want to see if Hamilton is still having a meeting on that day, because I'll be much more interested in what's going on there and probably having a bet on the flat racing at Hamilton than I will on goings on at Aintree, particularly with regards to the Grand National. That might me being a big old misery guts. The Morrissey vibe has been introduced to this cast. Every day is like Sunday. I'm so miserable. Heaven knows I'm miserable now. Well, yeah, apologies. Apologies if this has come across as a bit old whinge fest, but we love a whinge, don't we? We, as human beings, we love to bitch and whine and complain, and that has been the vibe for this particular cast. So apologies about that. Sorry for the Morrissey vibe. Sorry for being, heaven knows I'm miserable now. My good guy persona will be restored in the next cast, which will probably be, it probably won't be next week, but the week after, wherein I'm pretty certain Cheltenham will hove into view. I'm holding back. God knows I'm holding back about the hype about Cheltenham, because there's plenty of other places you can go for that. But yes, I will be doing something on Cheltenham at some point between now and Festival Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for showing up for this cast. Hope you continue to show up. Hope you continue to get back to me on all platforms, on all medium, on all platforms this is going out on, and on X, where my handle is Racing, RACING. What, capital WHAT, all one word. Drop me a line with your thoughts, and like I say, thanks a lot for being here, and I will catch up with you again when my next cast goes out, probably in the next fortnight or so. Be lucky.